How are you doing, Luke?
I'm doing great.
So yeah, how did you first discover Lindy Hop?
About 9 months after I started swing dancing. My uncles are in a band called the Jazztronauts. They do the vocals together, and being brothers, it works really well because they have the same vowels and pronunciation. So I would go out and listen to them play, and towards the beginning, the only people that would show up would be family. And one time, there were students from a local ballroom studio who'd come out, and they were all there as a class. And what was really weird is they all looked to be less than 40 years older than me, because up to that point, the only people I'd seen dance had either been, you know, Fred and Ginger, or they had been 40, 50 years older than me. So I was like, Dad, I want to take lessons. I'm really excited. And to this, until this point, I had been able to get in a community ed ballroom course. They had a little bit of swing, mm-hmm. of what ballroom people call swing.
Okay, gotcha.
And I had taken it with one of the girls that I had been in ballet with, and I had never used it because nobody outside of the ballroom world knows how to do a foxtrot or a rumba or whatever. Okay. So his response was, no, you're never going to use it. And I said, no, I will, I promise. And he said, okay, I'll make a deal with you. I promise that I will never pay dance lessons with you, or for you, sorry, unless you ask two women to dance tonight. And I said, okay. What do you mean? I don't know how to dance. And he said, exactly, because I don't want you to try to wait until you're good enough. And at this point, my dad hadn't been a dancer. I taught him how to dance years later.
Okay.
But he said, you'll never be good enough to start, so you have to start leveling up your asking people to dance skill at the same time as you start leveling up. He's really a smart guy. And so being 13 years old, I was terrified, because talking to girls at 13 is terrifying. Bad news, guys, it doesn't get a whole lot better. Anyway, so I waited until the last two songs of the night, and he said, hey, if you wait till the next song, you better hope the first one turns you down. Otherwise, you didn't make your quota. I said, okay. So I went over and I asked the teacher to dance. I figured that was a sure go, because what teacher wouldn't want a new student, right?
Indeed.
And she turned to me really dismissively and said something to the effect of, I'm only here to dance with the people who are paying for my time.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that I was shocked. And I, instead of being really hurt, I just thought, wow, what a jerk. Okay. So I turned to the woman next to her, just, you know, in my imagination, she's kind of mousy brown and waifish, but that's probably not true. She was probably very confident and very well-dressed. So I turned and asked her to dance, and she said, oh, no, I've only been taking lessons for 9 months. I'm not good enough to accept a dance. And I thought, okay. I'm not good enough either. Come on, let's dance. And she said, no, again. I said, all right, fine. And so I went back to my dad, and I said, I asked him. He said, well, what did they say? I said, well, no. And he said, well, did you die? I said, no. I said, okay. So if you find swing lessons, you can take them. Well, I had started doing a lot of East Coast swing because that's what was available.
Okay.
And I was with my friend Shannon Butler, who it turns out is a dance historian. Nice. And we were, my uncle was subbing in for the bassist for Jackknife and the Sharps, which is another band that was opening for the Mighty Blue Kings at the time. Mm-hmm. This is all in the mid-90s during mm-hmm. the first swing revival.
Great.
And we're at First Avenue, which Prince has played at a lot, Nirvana, everybody plays there. And she goes, man, I wish there was somebody to swing out with. What do you mean? And she said, oh, it's Lindy Hop. It's great. And I said, okay, teach me Lindy Hop. And she turns to me and she goes, all right, for all your moves, just do your normal East Coast swing stuff, except sometimes do this. And she showed me how to swing out. And so I did. And once I did that, I was like, I don't need any other moves. This is great. I could just, I could do this all night. This is the best thing in the world. And so I, that was my first thing is originally, the way that she talked about it at the concert, I actually thought the Lindy Hop was a move, not a dance.
Okay, gotcha.
So I rushed back to my friend, a buddy of mine, Mike Faltasek, who mm-hmm. later also became a dance teacher, who is still a mentor to me. And I said, dude, I learned this awesome move. And he goes, me too. And I said, it's called the Lindy Hop. And he goes, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we realized later, of course, that it's a dance, it's several dances and several styles and ideally you develop your own, just like with jazz, you don't want to play someone else's style. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I remember that as being the moment at the First Ave when Shannon Butler taught me how to swing out. Immediately, I knew that there was nothing else. It was like that Squirrel Nuts River song, Got My Own Thing Now, mm-hmm. right?
Am I right in understanding that you met Frankie?
My first weekend workshop was with Frankie Manning. Nice. It was in Minneapolis. I think it was in 1996. So right after I found out that Lindy Hop was a thing, then I saw the Hell's a Poppin' clip, which if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. All you listeners on Rockstep Radio have to go see this. And then there was Betty White, not the comedian, although this one was hilarious. She used to be one of the group of kids that was in South Carolina that invented the Big Apple group dance, not nice. The choreography we think of these days, okay. but the actual, there's probably several dances called the Big Apple back in the day, because New York is where jazz was spreading from, so everybody wanted to be like New York. Mm-hmm. But anyway, in South Carolina, they danced called the Big Apple, and they also had the Little Apple, nice. Which were kind of like Charleston, but not. And whether or not it's true, she was like, yeah, New Yorkers came up with a dance called Charleston, which is in South Carolina, and South Carolinians came up with a dance called the Big Apple, which is in New York. She was adorable, and I remember there was some accident where she broke a crown, and so she got it, you know, covered a little bit, but for the whole rest of the thing, she was trying to cover her mouth and not smile or anything like that because she had this big gap in her front teeth because she broke a tooth. And one of the dance teachers that was there tickled her in the ribs so that she had this big grin in the group picture at the end of it and managed to get her. But in addition, Jean Veloz, who used to dance with Dean Collins and Jewel McGowan and that sort of thing, and her brother Ray, and Jean and Ray and Betty White were at the second workshop I did like a month later or so. I immediately learned about like an LA style or Dean Collins style thing and decided that that's where I wanted to go with my dancing. Jean was also a great inspiration. She's still alive. She's with us.
She is.
The Groovy Movie is the first swing dance instructional video that I've ever seen. It's about 11 minutes long thereabouts. It's a short film by a guy named Pete Smith, who wrote it, directed, and was one of the dancers in it. It is fantastic. It's really tongue-in-cheek. Lindy Hopper's back in the day had a great sense of humor.
Is it the one with the like the mark, the black and white marks and the footprints and the glove?
Yeah, it's really fun. There's a dance movement now called Fusion, mm-hmm. where people will take elements from different dance styles, and they showed how Lindy Hop was kind of fusion of its day by showing places that Lindy Hoppers had appropriated other moves from to make their dance. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the old timers, and I can't remember who it was, told me when I asked how many styles of dance she knew, she looked at me and she's like, look, there's only four types of dancing. There's dancing fast and dancing slow and dancing fast on a crowded floor and dancing slow on a crowded floor.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
That's great.
And so I took that to heart and said, okay, well, great. So I can take any moves, and as long as my partner's having fun and knows what we're doing, and we do our best to interpret things that we're hearing in the music, so we're not dancing in spite of the music, then anybody else can either enjoy what we're doing or go make their own fun. Because, you know, it's if you and your partner are having fun and you're not hurting other people, I really see no such thing as like wrong, bad fun.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I found certainly dancing in Southern California, a certain style of song will come on and the dancers will dance. Maybe they might dance foxtrot or they might dance something which you maybe not expecting that you would go to a Lindy Hop night in the UK, for example. But whatever the band is playing, they'll be leading and following something which fits that song. And I think it's something for people to bear in mind that I think Tai Chi tandem and kind of laborious, really, really slow swing outs to it. If it's feeling painful, there are other options.
I mean, ideally, the reason I think that dance styles develop into codified dance styles is that they tend to develop along with music genres because they do an adequate or ideally a good job of solving whatever musical problems the dancers are given by the musicians. Mm-hmm. And so if you're dancing and you're dancing Lindy Hop to something that has no swing and no bounce and no pep and it's got straight eighth notes instead of swung, which is, I know, jargony for non-musicians, but if it doesn't have that swing and feel, and it also feels kind of upright, well, maybe West Coast Swing would fit that better, or maybe disco. I don't always advocate disco, but there are times when it
fits. There's a time and a place when disco is the thing to do.
Yes, sure. And it's called college. Yeah, a buddy of mine, when I was starting out and I asked him how to get good and develop my own style, because he was really the first of our friends to break away and have his own style. What he said is, well, there's three steps to learning anything, right? Imitate, assimilate, create. So start out by copying and try to get as exact as you can with somebody's style or somebody's moves. And ideally, whoever your local teacher is, try to imitate them to the point where people think you're mocking them in an impression of them. Be that good at it. And then find somebody else to copy, even one of your peers. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we used to do was to get together and practice all the time, because there were no swing dance teachers in Minneapolis aside from this really lovely couple, Cindy and Terry, who'd been doing things for 20 years, but that was it. There weren't weekend workshops. There were weekly drop-in classes, you know? And then there were the Lindy Loons guys who had progressives, but I was under 18, so I couldn't go. And so most of us would basically go and show up at somebody's apartment or somebody's house. We practiced things for the jam circles, just like they used to back in the day, to try to have something new every week, just learn one thing every week. And so once you've imitated somebody's style, you imitate somebody else's, and that knowledge will seep in and assimilate into your own dancing. And once you've done that 5, 6, 7, 8 times, you'll start creating things that are subtle blends of all these things that are really your own unique thing.
Yeah, your own expression.
Yeah, great. So imitate, assimilate, create.